It's the news many of us have been anticipating since the spring. The Big Ten has reportedly voted against going forward with the college football season. 12 of 14 university presidents apparently voted against playing football, making the Big Ten the first major conference to say the health risks of COVID-19 are just too great to overcome in the spittle and sweat-soaked sport. Here to tell us what we know so far about the decision is Chris Solari, a sports reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Chris, welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad I can join you guys today.
So I think maybe this is not surprising necessarily for all of us, knowing that how many things have been canceled, including schools for many people, in-person learning for many people. But it still kind of feels like a shock, doesn't it?
It does. And I think in large part because everything has been so fluid over the course of the past week. I mean, it was just Wednesday that the Big Ten announced new schedules for all of its 14 members to try and play the season. And then come Saturday, you started hearing a lot more rumblings that may be falling apart, that it might be moot, that they even made that announcement. So in that sense, it's a shock. But I think if you've just kind of been paying attention to some of the medical experts from the NCAA level, from certain conferences, that it's been trending that way for the better course of the last few weeks, especially with programs around the country in workouts during the summer continually getting shut down and restarted with COVID cases on their campuses.
So practice has already been underway. There was already a schedule that was lined up, as you said. Why has it taken the universities this long to make a decision?
I think everything's fluid right now. I think that's a big part of it. I think last week you started to see Division II and Division III at the NCAA level begin cancel their fall sports. And basically most of those schools won't have football. The football championship subdivision schools started moving. Then last Wednesday, the same day that Big Ten announced their schedules, UConn became the first football bowl subdivision of the country to announce they were going to suspend their program for the fall. So you've seen dominoes starting to fall one by one. The big question was always going to be, when would the first major conference make that announcement? And again, we're sitting here still without having that, but the Mid-American Conference on Saturday really was another one of those big dominoes. When you start talking about major college football, it's in the group of five right below the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, Big 12, and Pac-12. But that includes Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, and Central Michigan. They suspended all fall sports until the spring. So there was a lot on the plate of the Big Ten presidents this weekend as they convened to first talk about that news and then how they plan to progress. And they also want to try and get other conferences on board as well, because they don't want to be the ones that are the outlier if other conferences put the brakes on it and start to play and try and get all the eyeballs and all the money. But let's face it, the money is a big factor in all of this. But so is the health and safety of the students. And I think you started to see the presidents wrestle that a little bit away from that control, away from the athletic side a little bit with this.
There have been several student athletes who have expressed concern throughout the summer about universities going forward with the season. And there was even some discussion about some sort of unionizing or a cooperative to negotiate with conferences. What are the central concerns and the potential solutions that athletes were or are looking for?
Well, I think a lot of it is uniform testing across the board in all sports, but particularly from a football standpoint and the Power Five schools that would all be playing against each other. They want to be sure that these tests are going to be rendered in a positive, in a quick and efficient manner, which is something that has at times been a struggle to get tests back. And then now with the season beginning, they're going to increase the volumes. Well, they're already having some issues at certain schools with getting test results back quickly and efficiently. And then you add in another test, at minimum one more test that the schools in the Big Ten agreed to test once more per week to twice a week for competition purposes. How quickly they can get those tests back is a big factor for these kids, but also for the schools. You could be on the hook for a long road trip and having to leave Thursday night, say, and then potentially not have test results back. and you're already paying for charters. So there's a lot of things that from that standpoint that I think is big, but there's so many other things that are going on. And it's not just with this situation. It's, you're seeing a confluence of the Black Lives Matter protests. You're seeing the confluence of the name, image, and likeness of athletes who want to be able to make money off of who they are and their status that the NCAA has limited, that is now pushing forward in a number of different states. You're seeing the athletes get together and unite over this, which is something that college athletic directors and presidents have feared for quite some time. Can they form a union? Probably not, but there's certainly some unification within these athletes right now from a safety standpoint in particular, to say, hey, this is the thing that we need most going forward.
So assuming that there's some sort of vaccine or treatment or rapid testing and things could go forward next year, and that's obviously a big assumption, would it even be possible for these universities and these conferences to pick up where they left off? Or has the entire thing just exposed too many systemic issues within the NCAA to even move forward seamlessly next year, assuming that there are medical solves?
Yeah, the testing issue is one. I think the other thing, even if there is a vaccine, how much is being produced? Who is getting it? Where does the entertainment factor of college athletics rank among whether it be first responders, hospital workers, doctors, nurses, police, all the people that truly need it for the safety and well-being of society beyond just simply playing games? And that's going to be a big factor on this. There's other factors like which athletes are going to decide not to play because they've got a potential pro future or may enter the NFL draft or may not want to play back-to-back seasons if that's the case, if they try to move to the spring and then play a fall season as well. There's safety issues that come along with that because football is such a violent sport. There's a lot on top of the scholarship angle as well. I mean, are guys going to keep their scholarships for another year? Are they going to be eligible? Are they going to have an extra year of eligibility? These are all things that have to be worked out within the course of the next couple months. First, if they want to try and play in the spring, but also if they want to try and play this time next year.
So there is some possibility that football could just be pushed off until the spring?
There's been talk about it. There's been rumors and discussion of that. I know the Mid-American Conference is trying to formulate a plan to do that themselves with CMU, Western, and Eastern Michigan among those schools. But there's complications that come along with that. You also potentially could run into the NCAA basketball tournament, which if the start of basketball season's pushed back, that becomes an issue. It's amazing. The college sports world right now is in turmoil in large part because, one, there are no answers with the virus, but two, there are no answers for so many of their pertinent questions to try and figure out how do we get back to life as normal.
Finally, I wanted to get to Jim Harbaugh, who's made news a couple times in the past few weeks. One, because he thinks that the football season should go forward and that we're living with COVID and that we should do the best that we can to stay safe, but that things should move forward. Life continues. The other is that this whole thing has illuminated that he is paid an exorbitant amount of money. Well, the coaches, I guess the first question would be, are the coaches still going to be paid even if the players aren't going to be on the field?
Well, both Michigan and Michigan State coaches have taken pay cuts. I think, believe Michigan's runs for a few months and Michigan State's runs for a fiscal year. And I would imagine that will be reassessed at the end of those periods. But also, if there is no football, I mean, football and men's basketball are the significant revenue drivers to universities that do allow them to pay these coaches $8 million, $6 million, $7 million that you see at the major schools. So without those sources of revenue, you have to start wondering, will they be affected by that? Will smaller sports be affected by that and coaches in those sports? Will universities have to eliminate sports? I mean, these are things that is just, canceling the football season has a reverberation around athletic departments in a number of different ways beyond simply just football. But football is the one that really is kind of what fuels the rest of the athletic department monetarily. Without having a football season and the revenue that comes with it, that complicates a lot of things that, and a lot more answers that are going to need to be done and dealt with by athletic directors and high level administrators and universities.
Well, even though the money stays within the athletic departments, does a hit like this to a university's athletic department affect their overall bottom line?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're talking ticket revenues. You're talking merchandising. You're talking, and not just the athletic departments, these communities, that a lot of these communities aren't big cities. I mean, this is, everything grows up in East Lansing and Ann Arbor around these universities, and, you know, 100,000 plus people in Ann Arbor on Saturdays, 80,000 in Michigan State and East Lansing. You take away those revenues, I mean, you're talking about a lot of businesses that are going to get hit as well as the athletic department. But simply from an athletic department standpoint, it really does affect them. You know, this is, these are the millions of dollars that that allow the Big Ten to have 24 plus sports, and sponsors many scholarships for non-revenue athletes in cross country, track, swimming, all these sports that, that people don't think of when they see football on Saturdays. This is what pays the bill for those. And it's going to be interesting to see how they cut costs to retain those opportunities for kids, because that is still their primary mission, is to provide those opportunities.
Chris Solari is a sports reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.